development role and social sector or obligations of the insurance ombudsman. Micro insurance, promoting institutions and R&D, consumer education, handbooks, posters, comics, animation, virtual tours, games, website, seminars, events, and coordination with stakeholders. IRDA collaborates with other financial sector regulators, RBI, SEBI, PFRDA, FMC, to promote financial literacy and inclusion in India. What is the development role and social sector obligations of the insurance ombudsman? Micro insurance. So, which means that it also looks at the micro insurance agents and the small insurance requirements of individuals. Promoting institutions. So they promote companies and private institutions also to go in for insurance, as well as get private companies which do insurance on behalf of the bigger insurance companies, they are also promoted. There is also an R&D in terms of what are the requirements in the market, what are the changes required in the processes of claims, etc., etc. They also get involved in consumer education. That means educating the policyholder in terms of what is available as through insurance for their own protection, through handbooks, through posters, through comics, animation, or virtual tours of insurance companies to villages, to rural areas, games, website, seminars, events, and coordination with other stakeholders. IRDA also collaborates with other financial sector regulators like the Reserve Bank of India, the Securities Exchange and Board of India, PFRDA, FMC to promote financial literacy and inclusion in India. Reliability of private insurance companies. IRDA ensures the reliability of private insurance companies by requiring all insurers to be registered with IRDA, enforcing strict entry norms, assessing capital earnings, credibility, and financial strength of applicants, monitoring compliance with investment and solvency requirements to protect policyholders. Reliability of private insurance companies is managed by IRDA. IRDA ensures the reliability of private insurance companies. How does it do that? It has put up certain regulations. It requires all insurers to be registered with IRDA. So, it is in all probability that any insurance company today you have in the market in the country is already registered with IRDA, and it is registered for all the products that it is trying to offer you. Enforcing strict entry norms. Any new player wanting to enter this industry has strict entry norms that he has to adhere to, which assess the capital, the expected earnings, the credibility, and financial strength of the applicants. So, which means that the company may comprise of two or three directors. IRDA would look at their credibility and their financial strength before they grant them the license. Monitoring compliance with investment and solvency requirements to protect policyholders, which means that the company would look at the directors of the insuring company or the company that is wanting to get into the business by monitoring the compliance with investment and solvency requirements. Because it should not be a situation where the insurance company issues policies to the public and then becomes solvent by themselves. Insurance products require IRDA approval to ensure market suitability. IRDA also supervises insurers periodically. Insurers must disclose business and financial information on their websites. Around 60% of complaints are related to unfair business practices, highlighting the need for measures to build confidence in the insurance sector. Insurance products require IRDA approval to ensure market suitability, which means that a policy, if offered to you, should have IRDA approval before it is marketed, or whether before an offer is made by the insurance company to you. Insurers must disclose business and financial information on their websites, which means that it is sort of meeting the RTI rules, where a person who wants a policy can look at how strong his insuring company is and then decide whether he wants to go with company A or company B. Around 60% of complaints are related to unfair business practices. Unfair business practices from the part of the insuring companies, highlighting the need for measures to build confidence in the insurance sector. So if you have a situation where you realize that a certain company X adheres to a lot of unfair business practices, you put up a claim for X amount, they'll only give you a small percentage of that X, then you realize that there are certain wrong practices or unfair business practices which are in operation. Now these, when highlighted to IRDA, they are taking measures to ensure that they build confidence with the policyholders. Future challenges for IRDA include, on the supply side, life insurance companies, mis-selling which undermines confidence in the industry, non-life insurance companies, underwriting losses, indicating unhealthy price wars and competition. For intermediaries, the challenge is to maintain a code of conduct while supporting insurers in providing efficient service to policyholders. What are the future challenges for IRDA? Some of them include, on the supply side, life insurance policies companies. A lot of life insurance companies mis-sell the products to the policyholders, which undermines the confidence in the industry. So a lot many people are wary of going in for life insurance with private insurers. The reason is they feel that the company may look at different rules and regulations if a claim comes up. Non-life insurance companies, underwriting losses, indicating unhealthy price wars and competition. What does underwriting losses mean? That if you have put up a claim for 10,000 rupees, they will say, no, as per us, the loss is only 5,000 or is less than, very much less than the 10,000 or the amount that you have claimed. This means underwriting losses, which indicates an unhealthy practice and can create a price war and competition, which means that if you realize that your current insurance company is not honoring your claim or is underwriting the losses, you are not likely to continue with them. You would rather switch over to another insurance company. Now that other insurance company may offer you a lesser premium, but it may not cover that particular condition or that particular risk at all. So you need to be completely aware of what is being offered, what premium and what are the terms and conditions. This is actually a requirement because today there is an unhealthy price war or likely unhealthy price war in the market. For intermediaries, the challenge is to maintain a code of conduct while supporting insurers in providing efficient services to policyholders. Let us realize, whom does the intermediaries earn from? They do not earn from you, they earn from the insuring company. So the challenge here is to maintain a code of conduct with the insuring company and support them to provide efficient services to the policyholder, who is the actual person who is creating or who is giving the or who is paying the business. Transparency. Insurers and intermediaries must be transparent, non-coercive, and avoid misrepresentation when providing information and selling insurance products. From the demand side, insurance is intangible, with benefits realized only upon the occurrence of an insured event or policy maturity. It is crucial for people to understand its importance in daily life to benefit from the various insurance products available. What are the other future challenges for IRDA? Transparency. Insurers and intermediaries must be transparent, non-coercive, and avoid misrepresentation when providing information and selling insurance products. Most of the time that you are approached by a broker or an agent who is an intermediary, he will offer you the moon, saying that the insurance company or the policy from an XYZ insurance company will cover everything and anything that you want. When you actually look, sit down and start looking at the terms and conditions, you will realize whatever was promised, nothing is being offered. Now, this is only possible if you sit down and look at the terms and conditions. But what happens with most of us? We go by the face value or whatever the insurance agent is telling you. And as a result, we get into traps. Demand side, insurance is intangible, with benefits realized only upon the occurrence of an insured event or policy maturity. It is crucial for people to understand its importance in daily life to benefit from the various insurance products available. Because of the processes that are followed by insurance companies and the long-drawn process of putting up a claim and its reimbursement, most of us do not get into looking at what are the day-to-day benefits that we could get from an insurance policy. Besides risk coverage and a peace of mind, there is much more that a policy can offer. But these benefits are realized only upon the occurrence of an insured event or policy maturity. Most of the time, life insurance policies are also endowment policies, which means that if nothing untoward happens to you in the policy period, then at the end of that policy period, for the premium that you have paid, and since no claim was made, the insurance company stands to give you a certain amount at policy maturity. Now, this amount is offered to be at different levels, at different percentages of the total premium paid by different companies. So you need to understand which is the best for you, so that you are able to select and benefit from the various insurance products that are available in the market. Insurance addresses risk protection, not greed. Customers must understand their responsibilities and choose the right financial products, including insurance based on their needs. Insurance penetration is the percentage of insurance premiums to GDP, while insurance density is the per capita premium, both reflecting the development level of the insurance sector. Note, an insurance product is for risk protection, not for saving or investment purposes. Insurance addresses risk protection, not greed, which means that if you have claimed, if you have insured your business for a certain amount, you can understand and you have to realize that you cannot claim more than that amount at any point of time. That is the first thing. The second thing is that there could be a deductible percentage from your side, which means that there would be only a percentage that will get compensated for after the deduction. The third is that your insurance policy was for your protection. So it is actually insurance that you have purchased against a risk. It is never, an insurance policy is never an investment, because unless it is an endowment policy where the premiums are likely to be much higher and the returns not really in proportion to the amount invested. Customers must understand also their responsibilities when buying insurance products and choose the right financial products suited for their needs, which also includes insurance policies. Because if you say that you have got 10 more years of service balance at the rate of, let's say, 10 lakh rupees per annum, you have got 100 lakhs, that means 1 crore to be compensated for. So you take a policy for 1 crore. Now you cannot say that with the market changing, now there is scope for me to earn 2 crores. That would not work here. Whatever was decided at the first instance is what will continue. Now you cannot have another policy for another crore rupees because the claim can be done only for the set amount, not from the for two or three policies. You can have two or three policies, but then you would have to claim the final amount of 1 crore from either both the policies or one of them. Insurance penetration is the percentage of insurance premiums to GDP, while insurance density is the per capita premium, both reflecting the development level of the insurance sector. Insurance premium penetration is where how many people are really getting themselves insured with respect to the GDP. So what is counted here is the insurance premiums to GDP, and insurance density is the per capita premium, both reflecting the development level of the insurance sector. The insurance ombudsman. The insurance ombudsman under the Council for Insurance Ombudsman, CIO, resolves policyholder grievances related to personal, group and micro insurance policies. It provides a cost-effective, impartial platform for complaints against insurers and intermediaries. There are 17 ombudsman centers across India. What does the insurance ombudsman actually do in terms of resolving policy issues, or how does it support the policyholder? The insurance ombudsman under the Council for Insurance Ombudsman resolves policyholder grievances related to personal, group and micro insurance policies. It provides a cost-effective, impartial platform for complaints against insurers and intermediaries. Let us understand, as of date, there are 17 ombudsman centers across India, and the 17 ombudsman centers are situated in Ahmedabad, Bangalore, Bengaluru, Bhopal, Bhubaneswar, Chandigarh, Chennai, Delhi, Guwahati, Hyderabad, Jaipur, Kochi, Kolkata, Lucknow, Mumbai, Noida, Pune and Patna. So in case an ombudsman center is not in your city, you would have to go to the closest one or look at which is that center which covers your geographical location. The insurance ombudsman, appointed under the Insurance Ombudsman Rules of 2017, address complaints regarding deficiencies in insurer performance, including by agents and brokers. What are the rules? Provides a cost-effective, impartial alternative to court. Complaints can be filed within the ombudsman jurisdiction based on the insurer's office or the complainant's residence. So let's understand how now an insurance ombudsman helps out a policyholder. Appointed and under the Insurance Ombudsman Rules of 2017, addresses complaints regarding deficiencies in insurer performance, including by agents and brokers. So if an agent and broker promised you a lot of things and neither the company nor either of them are available to honor it, you can file a complaint with the insurance ombudsman. It provides a cost-effective, impartial alternative to court. That means you need not go to court with your claim. You can go to the ombudsman, and the ombudsman offers you a cost-effective, impartial alternative to court. This is done to reduce the burden on the courts as well as get faster relief for the policyholders. Complaints can be filed within the ombudsman jurisdiction. This is what I mentioned earlier. You got to look at the geographical jurisdiction of the ombudsman office and your own, that is the complainant's residence, and then approach that office. Approach the ombudsman with complaints. If you have first approached your insurance company with the complaint and they have rejected it, not resolved it to your satisfaction, not responded to it at all for 30 days. Second, you have first approached your insurance company with the complaint. Third, complaint pertains to any policy you have taken in your capacity as an individual, and the value of the claim, including expenses claimed, is not above 30 lakhs. So when does an insurance ombudsman support a policyholder? When a policyholder can approach the ombudsman with a complaint, if you have a first condition is you have to approach your insurance company with the complaint. and if they have rejected it or not resolved it to your satisfaction or not responded to it at all for a period of 30 days, you can approach the ombudsman. Second condition is you have first approached your insurance company with the complaint. So you cannot go to the ombudsman first and then go to the insurance company. You must first go to the insurance company and meet those three conditions that we saw at point one of either there is no response or it is rejected or it has not resolved to the level of satisfaction that you wanted. The third is complaint pertains to any policy you have taken in your capacity as an individual and the value of the claim including expenses is not above 30 lakhs. So what we are trying to look at is the ombudsman is trying to protect individual policyholders rather than look at corporates or other smaller companies. Complaint to the ombudsman can be about what are the different kinds of complaints that an ombudsman can accept. Delay in settlement of claims beyond the time specified in the regulations framed under the IRDAI Act of 1999. Any partial or total repudiation of claims by the insurer. Any dispute about premium paid or payable or misrepresentation of policy terms and conditions. So, the complaint can be about a delay in settlement of claims beyond the time specified in the regulations framed under the IRDA Act of 1999. So, while most of the insurance companies would have the same time periods mentioned in the policy, currently, when there is a complaint being made to the ombudsman, the IRDA Act regulations will be looked at. Any partial or total repudiation of claims by the insurer. You have put up a claim and it was either turned down partially or turned down totally by the insurer. You can then also go and make a complaint to the ombudsman. Any dispute about premium paid or payable. You have paid a certain amount and they are asking you to pay more, or if you have not paid but the premium keeps changing or is further due much more than you had expected, you can always go to the ombudsman and complain about it. A misrepresentation of policy terms and conditions. When there is a claim to be put or when you go want a clarification on the terms and conditions, they are totally twisted and a different meaning is told to you or is represented to you, which would mean a misrepresentation of the policy terms and conditions. Even then, if you suspect something to be wrong, you can always approach the ombudsman with your complaint. You can also approach the insurance ombudsman with some more conditions or some more issues. Legal construction of insurance policies, policy servicing grievances against insurers and concerned parties, issuance of policies not conforming to the proposal form, non-issuance of policies after receiving the premium, violations of the Insurance Act of 1938 or IRDA regulation, circulars or guidelines. What does this mean? This means that the policy, insurance policy is not legally constructed. That means although you have paid the premium, the insurance policy that you get back is not in the form of a contract and is nowhere legally binding, or the construction of that document is not legally right. Policy servicing grievances against insurers and concerned parties. That means that you have a claim. A policy servicing means that you put up a claim and that claim is either not entertained or not looked at by the insurer or the concerned parties. Then it would account to a policy servicing grievance. Issuance of policies not conforming to the proposal form. So what you signed as the proposal form and the insurance policy that you get are two different documents. Are two different documents with a lot many changes on the terms and conditions on both, which means that the issuance of the policy is not conforming to the proposal that you have signed. Non-issuance of policies after receiving the premium, a very common case where insurance premium is paid but the policy is not issued because of certain untoward practices or unhealthy practices followed by the insurance agent along with compliance conveyance with the insurance company. Violations to the of the Insurance Act of 1938 or IRDA regulations, circulars or guidelines, which means you can always go back to the insurance ombudsman in case if you feel that there are certain violations under the Insurance Act or any of the IRDA regulations or circulars are not being adhered to. What is the settlement process followed by the insurance ombudsman? The ombudsman mediates and provides a fair recommendation. If accepted, the insurer must comply within 15 days, which means you put up a claim or you put up a complaint to the insurance ombudsman. Now, the insurance ombudsman will mediate and provides a fair recommendation. Now, if you as the complainant accepts it, the insurer must comply within 15 days. Award. If a settlement by recommendation fails, the ombudsman will issue an award within 3 months of receiving all required documents from the complainant, and the award will be binding on the insurance company. Once the award is passed, the insurer must comply with the award within 30 days of receiving it and inform the ombudsman of the compliance. Let us understand what happens. If a settlement by recommendation fails, the ombudsman will issue an award within 3 months of receiving all required documents from the complainant, which means that there was a recommendation given by the ombudsman and you as a policyholder did not accept that settlement. Then the ombudsman will most probably ask you for some more documentation and go study the entire case much more in detail and come up with an award within 3 months. Now, once the award is given, the award will be binding on the insurance company. Once the award is passed, the insurer must comply with the award within 30 days of receiving it and inform the ombudsman of the compliance. So, in this case, for the protection of the policyholder, it is only the insurance company that has to come in with the compliance against the complaint that was made by the policyholder as per guidelines of the ombudsman. Thank you.